We will now open the meeting with the group saying the Serenity Prayer. This prayer is found in the yellow pamphlet on page 2 and on page 2 of the conference flyer. Let's pause for a moment of silence first for those who are facing challenges in and out of the program. And unfortunately, my dog seems insistent on joining in this meeting. So let's have that moment of silence now. Can we unmute the phone and say the Serenity Prayer together? God, grant me the serenity to accept the change. Welcome to the second annual telephone conference of Emotions Anonymous. Our theme today is Experience, Strength, and Hope. My name is Journey, and I am powerless over my emotions. Let's take a moment to mute ourselves by pressing star 6 or using the buttons on your phone so that we can have a quiet meeting. We have discovered that our EA fellowship is warm and friendly. The EA 12-step program helps us to find solutions that lead to serenity. So much depends on our own attitudes. The love and exchange of help among members and daily reading of EA literature makes us ready to receive the priceless gift of serenity. The meeting is open for anyone who would like to share their first name and where you're from. So let's press star 6 to unmute ourselves. And again, to mute after you share. So would anybody like to just announce that they're here? Once again, my name is Journey, and I am the moderator for this next hour.
Hi, this is Dorita from Cleveland.
Hello, Dorita.
This is Rory from Galway in Ireland.
Hi, Rory.
This is Frank from Chicago.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Journey.
Sharon from Topeka.
Hi, Sharon.
Marsha.
This is Rosalie
this
from Nancy
Virginia.
From Illinois.
Okay, so I heard a Marsha, Rosalie, and a Nancy. Welcome all.
Audrey from Kentucky.
Hi, Audrey.
Susan from Texas.
Hi, Susan.
This is Joan from Baltimore, Maryland.
Is that another Journey or?
No, Joan.
Joan. Hi, Joan.
Hi.
This is Robin in Arizona.
Hi, Robin. And just to let you know, I barely heard you. So when you do, if you decide to share, you may want to talk a little bit closer into the mic.
This is Emily, powerless over my emotions.
Welcome, Emily. Anyone else? Well, I just want to say welcome to everyone again. If we could press star 6. And I'm excited to be here. As was stated, this is the second annual teleconference, and it's really a great conference. So I will be making one announcement. That announcement is there are many opportunities for finding an EA meeting. Information on face-to-face, Skype, as well as telephone meetings can be found on the website at emotionsanonymous.org or by calling in into the EA International Service Center at 651-647-9712. Once again, the number to the International Service Center is 651-647-9712, and that's a U.S.-based number. At our meetings, we use first names only. Many of us add powerless over our emotion. Comments made here are treated confidentially to uphold our tradition of anonymity. Anonymity assures us that only we have the right to make our membership in EA known to others. Criticism and arguments are avoided to ensure easy and open-minded discussions. If we share the positives and solutions by focusing on the program, we are more likely to leave the meeting feeling optimistic and hopeful. Please refrain from crosstalk, which is also known as unasked-for advice or comments from another person, and feedback, as these can divert us from the step or topic of the meeting. We will now read the helpful concepts from the yellow pamphlet. The yellow pamphlet, this can also be found, the helpful concepts can also be found on, I believe, the conference flyer. No, it'll just only be in the yellow pamphlet. So for those who do have the Emotions Anonymous book, it can also be found there. So can I have a few volunteers to help us read through the helpful concepts?
Yeah, this is Frank. I can help.
Thank you, Frank.
This is Dorita. I can help.
Thank you, Dorita. Okay, so the readers will be Frank, followed by the reader, followed by myself, and we will read four apiece of the helpful concepts.
All right, this is Frank. We come to EA to learn to how to live a new way of life through the 12-step program of Emotions Anonymous, which consists of 12 steps, 12 traditions, concepts, the Serenity Prayer, slogans, Just for Today, NEA literature, weekly meetings, telephone and personal contacts, and living the program one day at a time. We do not come for another person. We come to help ourselves and to share our experiences, strength, and hope with others. Two, we are experts only on our own stories, how we try to live the program, how the program works for us, and what EA has done for us. No one speaks for Emotions Anonymous as a whole. Three, we respect anonymity. No questions are asked. We aim for an atmosphere of love and acceptance. We do not care who you are or what you have done. You are welcome. Four, we do not judge. We do not criticize. We do not argue. We do not give advice regarding personal or family affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Frank. Dorita?
Hi, my name is Dorita. I'm powerless over my emotions. Here are the helpful concepts, number five, the second four. Number five, EA is not a sounding board for continually reviewing our miseries, but a way to learn to detach ourselves from them. Part of our serenity comes from being able to live at peace with unsolved problems. Excuse me. Number six, we never discuss religion, politics, national or international issues, or other belief systems or policies. EA has no opinion on outside issues. Number seven, Emotions Anonymous is a spiritual program, not a religious program. We do not advocate any particular belief system. Number eight, the steps suggest a belief in a power greater than ourselves. This can be human love, a force for good, the group, nature, the universe, God, or any entity a member chooses as a personal higher power. Pass.
Thank you, Jamita. This is Journey, number nine. We utilize the program. We do not analyze it. Understanding comes with experience. Each day we apply some part of the program to our personal lives. Number 10, we have not found it helpful to place labels on any degree of illness or health. We may have different symptoms, but the underlying emotions are the same or similar. We discover we are not unique in our difficulties and illnesses. Number 11, each person is entitled to his or her own opinions and express them at a meeting within the guidelines of EA. We are all equal. No one is more important than another. And number 12, part of the beauty and wonder of the EA program is that at meetings, we can say anything and know it stays there. Anything we hear at a meeting, on the telephone, or from another member is confidential and is not to be repeated to anyone, EA members, mates, families, relatives, or friends. Thank you, Frank and Davida, for helping with the reading of the helpful concepts. Our subject for this session is Becoming Free, and our speaker is Sharon H. And I would love to say that I know Sharon as a friend, and I believe she's insightful and has great information. So I'm looking forward to hearing this topic from her, Becoming Free. Sharon, you may share for 20 to 30 minutes. Do you have a preference of 20 or 30 so that I can know when to give you your five-minute warning?
Okay. The reading takes about 18 to 20 minutes, and then
okay, so
that would give 10 minutes for any questions or discussions, as I understand it.
Okay. So I will give you a warning at the 15-minute mark.
Okay.
And then after that, it leaves time for people to share.
Okay. All right.
So, alrighty. So, with that, I pass the floor over to you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Hello to everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to share my journey towards freedom through the 12-step spiritual recovery. It was by no means a quick journey. Many times I felt like I was wandering and floundering, but in hindsight, I realized that my higher power had been hidden while always carefully guiding me through the trajectory of healing and recovering from my past. As a child in a parochial school, a child with a non-nurturing mother, a child with adult responsibilities, I did not know I was becoming an other-focused child. From the trauma, I took these distorted value beliefs into my adult world. My thoughts circled around the behavior of others, what they required of me, pass or fail in school or work. I carried mother's anxious and angry behavior, and I was worried always about pleasing dad and pleasing others. My feelings were of not being enough, feeling emotionally separated from parents, fearful of negative repercussions if I failed, feeling just wrong or different, and all became my way of being. I believed no one cared. I believed I was not enough. I felt the shame of being faceless. I came to wonder if this learned self-abandonment was the root of my emotional reactions. Is this where codependency captured me, living to please others but ignoring myself? I wondered if the emotional impulses and reaction, depression and anxiety, were not long-lost and suppressed emotions from my childhood. I've slowly come to realize childhood stress and trauma developed a habit of being externally focused. What I receive from others or what I don't receive in assurance and esteem or safety, what I do or don't do, what I do primarily for others, all my striving and driving efforts to make things okay around me and to make me okay. My esteem was based on the external world. My inner esteem was low because I didn't believe in the value of myself without the external props and accolades. After hospitalization for depression, my higher power encouraged me to focus on what I did know, the daily step 11, was to become my first things first, my rule for life. One day at a time, prayer and meditation slowly turned me away from depression negative thinking, and anxiety as I improve my conscious contact with God, one decreasing and one increasing in direct correlation. Detachment from the external, the emotions and the thoughts, and attachment to something greater than everything I was detaching from. At home and in the world, I felt abandoned, but through the 12-step recovery, I realized how I myself was continuing the pattern of self-abandonment. I was not attending to my physical needs. I was not attending to my emotional needs. I was not attending to my social needs. I asked for God's forgiveness for not loving myself, knowing my higher power understood it was my mental and emotional condition that kept me bound to the old beliefs and disbelief in my own goodness. I wondered if love was really love, if it was conditional. So I had to make a decision to grow in the God's idea of love and to then grow in love of God, self, and others. I needed to make the best effort to stop all judgments, criticism, and comparison of myself and to do the same for other people. This forgiveness and acceptance was essential to freedom from what held me captured in addictions, compulsions, and emotionally reactive impulses. An example of my old me in bondage to the past would be a significant person in my life ask me, "How are you?" But when they don't listen to my answer, or when I get an offhand, "Well, good," without conversation, I believe they weren't really interested. Their question was more of an offhand greeting. I would feel abandoned, as indicated by my frustration and angry reaction. Eventually, through my own emotional reaction, I had to realize, why is it so important for me to be listened to? If I wasn't listened to, I experienced the reoccurring sense of loss of emotional attachment from my childhood. If I didn't come to understand my reaction as something from the past, then the present relationship would sour in my disheartenment, disappointment, sense of loss, and abandonment. I've learned if I have strong, intense reactions to something in the present moment, it probably has much more to do with my past. Prayer and meditation was an essential practice to learn that I could not only detach from thoughts and feelings during meditation, but also throughout the day. I came to understand the emotional reactions inhibited my grasping that I am of value. They led me to believe then that I was not separated from myself, but the old feelings and beliefs get in the way of experiencing our valued self. The program taught me lots and lots of people experience the same thinking and feelings. It's not just me, it's us. Through prayer and meditation, I grew in the sense that we are not separate from our higher power. Old religion taught me that I was. Prayer and meditation, detaching from what was not loving and kindness toward myself, and attachment to my higher power, reinforced the wisdom of step 11 with this emphasis on developing conscious contact with God. I was more and more connected with my own center and less concerned with the external focus. I continue to recognize the old sense of abandonment feelings whenever I defer to others by doing for them without personal consideration or taking what they say too seriously or what they don't say goes straight to my heart. Their voice is just their opinion, their period. Conscious contact with God keeps my higher power as the only opinion I need to attend to. That and my own conscious voice, always listening to what do I say to others and what do I say to myself. Conscious contact became my antidote to codependency, which I recognize as a bondage to my past projected into my day-to-day living. It was a spiritual awakening to understand conscious contact has been a part of me for many years. I just couldn't focus on the value of my higher power in my own life as I was so busy projecting onto others. and reacting to every external thing that bothered me. Reacting to what I want or what I don't want identified me to me the broken and wounded child within. These were moments alerting me to self-care. I needed to live the value of self-care with the help of my conscious contact with God before I could authentically integrate this connection into my relationships with others. My higher power became my filter, not my past. And what is God's will for me? No one can love me as well or as fully or as deeply as my higher power. My higher power has loved me into wholeness. I came to understand my higher power has always been there with goodness and guidance and care. To discover this, I first needed to know that there is nothing in my thoughts, feelings, or behaviors, or lack of behaviors that would cause my higher power to not love me or to be angry or to withhold care. Once I grasped this, I experienced a freedom from the external focus, from emotional bondage, from workaholism, from depression and anxiety, and from a despairing heart. For me to be in conscious contact with God, I need to make all efforts to have no negative, rejecting, or abandoning thoughts separating me from myself or others. This wasn't easy, as my lack or sense of safety kept me in a defensive mode, alert to rejection. Understanding my vulnerability helped me transfer that too to the care of my higher power. And so then, with trusting faith, I continued to let go of the negative defensive modes. Maybe this is what describes that so unfamiliar word to me of love. When I stay non-judgmental, when I stay in effort to forgive and to lean towards kind actions, then I am aligned with my higher power's mind and heart, the power to love and the courage and the strength and the hope in difficulties helps me endure in all circumstances. My well-being and wholeness depends on pursuing this free-hearted state of mind and heart, conscious contact with God, detached from the external and focused on the internal. Many identify this skill as mindfulness or awareness, which keeps us in the present moment, a tether from zipping into the conditioned past or anxiously zooming into the future like an emotional slingshot. I no longer live on this bungee cord of ups and downs. My stability is found in conscious contact with God. When I do stay in the moment, it is much more likely that negative feelings and judgmentalness towards myself and others will fade away if I don't feed them. Detachment dispels them, as I realize and remember. Judgment is not within the heart of my higher power. My higher power shares with me the freedom to love and care for myself and other people, and to appreciate the growth factor of difficult events. I used to just avoid everything. I was resistant to anything that was difficult, and I came to understand that there was a deep underlying fear within myself created by insecurity in my home. It took a relationship crisis to move my heart and being out of other focus and to move into not abandoning myself, just as my higher power had not abandoned me. Conscious contact is where I need to be. The mind of God is compassion. If I keep my thinking in the way of the higher power's mind for self and others, in that freedom, I shall go much better. I've learned it's not what I do or don't do. It is the love and care with which I implement any action or speech that matters. I needn't be perfect or successful at it. I just need to make an effort at kindness and perseverance. No longer living out of my abandoned and fear-filled self, conscious contact created a humility instead of fear. I learned humility is not that I am able to see every human failing within myself, all my limitations, realization of my full potential to harm others and myself, and then at the same time to see how good God is. No, it is not this contrast. Humility is the freedom to see the self with all the foibles and limitations, but to see without judgment, because one knows oneself is fully loved as is. And this is what creates humility. It creates the humility to know one is no different than that I am no different than another human being, and all are loved by their higher power, period. It almost causes complete silence from the conditioned mind that tries to exaggerate the opposite. Before, all relationships and about everything I did was about what I could get out of it or how to protect myself from it. I was mostly resistant to life and my fears of being rejected. I had to see this with the compassion of a child who went into adulthood with a deep, unresolved void of emotional nurturing. I find this nurturing now in my Step 11, in my meetings, and in my co-sponsorship relationship, and deep within my own heart. Freer now, everything I might do or not do is no longer on the plane of approval, disapproval, or disappointment in myself or others. But it is on the common ground of understanding, forgiveness, and acceptance, the connect of the heart and the mind to the heart and mind of my higher power with my best effort. This means no judgment, only love and acceptance. This new stance frees me to be myself, to accept myself as I am, to accept others as they are. Should I fall into negative thoughts, anger, or resentment thinking, I'll find that I've drifted out of right relationship with the higher conscious contact with God. Freedom means these emotions now are merely reminders that I've defaulted back to my old way of perceiving through separation and abandonment where I am not enough or a failure. Rejection is anticipated. I then can wake up through the help of the emotions and use the emotions as a springboard to a decision to return to the heart of my higher power, letting go of my mind's way of thinking, to choose the mind and heart of God, where all is accepted, nothing and no one is rejected. Pursuing conscious contact has given me a worthwhile focus that gives me a feeling of well-being and wholeness as I know I am not separate from myself or from my higher power as the emotions used to inform me. I know we are each together held deeply and comfortably in the loving heart of God. This makes me feel like a free person as I am enfolded in my higher power's attention. I am free to be myself as I am because no longer am I bound to how others think of me or value me, and what I do is no longer the greatest value more important than myself. The greatest value is the power of acceptance, forgiveness, and love. Conscious contact, step 11, is my responsibility to the world and to myself. A first things first, right relationship with a higher power. It is my rule for life and living. Everything else will unfold from this relationship, not an external one. I started meditation after hospitalization, hoping for peace of mind. I just wanted my mind to stop screaming at me. Step 11 meditation has quieted all that chaos in the security of a nurturing and caring experience of something greater than everything else. Not only is my mind peaceful, but more importantly, my heart is peaceful and my soul is content. All results in the more peaceful interactions with others. The appreciation for the freedom found through the 11 steps prayer, meditation, and conscious contact with God is now the value of what I take into the world as my step 12 works. Number 9 in Just for Today, it says, I will have a quiet time of meditation wherein I shall think of my higher power, of myself, of my neighbor. I shall relax and seek truth. I have learned the truth about who I really am. The ninth promise, God can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I have experientially found this as true. I am free from the mental and emotional chaos I lived in most of my life. What yet needs freeing? I know the path is through the 12-step program and continuing to practice intentionally conscious contact with God. I thank you for your time and attention, and may the peace and love and serenity of the program be yours. I would now offer an opportunity for others to share what they've discovered or question as the 11-step suggestion to prayer, meditation, and conscious contact with God is essential for growing in freedom.